Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you, chose that you should exist, chose you, consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all minds, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
And welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking, and we're here every night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Revolutionary Life, where we discuss life's issues from a revolutionary point of view. And of course, revolution is just change. And there's a lot of things that need some revolutionary change out there. One of the things that we're going to be discussing tonight is the question of independence. Are you independent? If so, how much so are you independent? At what level of independence do you stand personally? And what is this necessity? What is this fight for independence all about? Are we really independent or not? And why not? Thank you for logging in or calling, logging in and listening in tonight. As I said, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every night, we are addressing a different subject, usually that's associated with our lives, guys, and our livelihoods. Things that affect us every day and things that need to change. I don't know if you thought about changing anything. And I hear you. Every situation has three resolutions. You accept it. You change it. Or you get out of it. You leave it. All else is madness, confusion, and stress. You accept it. You change it, or you leave it. All else is madness, drama. Welcome to Revolutionary Life as we talk about independence tonight. I'll start this conversation off with a conversation about a conversation that I had with a young teenager. Older teenager, he's just about to turn 19, 20. Not quite. But this particular teenager, I had a discussion with him about independence because he said he was independent. Nobody needs to tell me what to do, he says. This teenager told me. I have an independent mind. I do my own thing. I don't want to be told what to do. Makes sense. He's a teenager, right? Adolescence, right? He's rebelling against authority. That's normal. And so now, excuse me, guys. And so now I had to have a conversation with him because we had to discuss independence, guys, and maybe I need to discuss it with y'all. But let me tell my story and you tell me. So I asked the kid, let's not define independence too complicated. Let's get down to some basic things, like your basic survival needs. In other words, the things you need to live, to sustain life on Earth. Food, clothing, shelter. Let's just deal with those three basic life-giving, preserving properties. Let's don't get into anything else. Let's just do food, clothing, and shelter. Let's do some basic primitive stuff. Stuff cavemen used to get up in the morning and risk their lives for. Food, clothing, and shelter. Here it is 2021, and we got people doing this, having get up and go do the same thing. Now, I asked the kid, how much of those basic things, food, clothing, and shelter, does he control the quantity and quality of? Does he control in his life? So I said, how do you get your food? Well, he lives with his mother, so he just opens the refrigerator. She buys the food. Okay. So you're not independent of food. How about your clothing? Well, he lives with his mother, so she takes him out and buys his clothing. And his nice, expensive tennis shoes. And board game boys and cell phones and all that stuff. She bought. All right, so how about your shelter? How about a roof over your head? How about something as basic as that? Do you control that? Do you have any say in that existing or not for you? No. My mother pays the bills for the house. So you're telling me you're independent. You're shouting how independent, how you don't need anybody to tell you anything. But you're shouting that you're independent. But materially, you just told me that for your basic survival, food, clothing, and shelter, guys, for your basic survival needs, you have to go to somebody else to get them. And if they cut them off, you don't have them. No, you're not independent, son. Not materially. You might be independent-minded. Let's put it that way. You might have an independent mind. Well, that's a good thing. But as far as independence goes, materially, you're a baby. You're doing what a baby does. You sit at home and wait. You're doing what a little baby bird does. He sits at home in the nest and screams. His mother goes out and get a worm and comes back and stick it down his throat. His nest, his food, everything is provided by his mom. Just like a little bird in a nest, a little baby bird. And when he gets hungry, he screams. And she feeds him. Now, that's been going on since he was a baby. I can't blame him for getting used to that. Just kicking your feet up and crying and somebody come pick you up. That's a nice thing to have around. So as a baby, yeah, you needed to be taken care of. But now you're almost a man, and you still want, you're still yelling. You're still like that little baby chick, that little baby bird in a nest. You still got your mouth open screaming, waiting for somebody to come put some food in it for you, put some clothes on your back and a roof over your head, build your nest, provide your nest to live in. There are only two people he has to understand. He had to understand. I had to get across the understanding to him that he was growing up. And there's only two people in this society, two groups of people primarily in this society who most people will agree need to be taken care of. Babies, children, who don't know how to take care of themselves. And then the elderly or disabled, people who can't take care of themselves. Now, this young man was neither. He was physically fit, mentally alert, but he wanted to live like a baby or an invalid because he wanted somebody else to house, feed, and clothe him. But somehow or another, he couldn't land a job or keep one. It was easier for him to just go in his room and go to bed or play a game and look in the refrigerator for food and yell out when there ain't nothing in there. And she'll go to the store and buy it. So he lived like a child would live or an invalid would live, a little baby bird. He sat in the nest and screamed and somebody came and fed him. He was dependent, not independent. And he needed to know that he was dependent. And his contradiction, his consternation, the thing that upset him was that his mother and people would talk to him like he was a child, like he didn't know how to take care of himself. And he hated that. And then people would treat him like an invalid, like he was unable to do things for himself. I don't need you to buy me clothes. Just give me the money. And I'll go buy him. Well, I think the last time she did that, he came back with a bunch of his friends, some pizzas, and they played games, and no shoes showed up. But he didn't want to be treated like an invalid, like somebody who couldn't do things for themselves. And he didn't want to be treated like a child, like somebody who didn't know how to do things for themselves. And so if you said anything to him that made it sound like you were talking down to him, like a child or an invalid or something, he got upset and declared he didn't need anybody to tell him this, that, and another, right? He didn't need anybody's advice. He was independent. But I had to explain to him, if you live like a child or an invalid, if you prefer to live like a child or an invalid, somebody who is unable to do, and somebody who don't know what to do, if you want to live like one of those groups, then don't be surprised when somebody treats you like a child, talk to you like you're an invalid, treat you like you're an invalid, talk to you like you're a child. He had to understand where that was coming from. Why do people talking down to me? I'm almost 20 years old now. I'm 18, I'm going on 19, you know, all that stuff. I don't need people talking down to me like I'm a child. But you live like one, you see. Like a rabbit. You know, you sound like a rabbit. People are going to think you're a rabbit. And so there's your contradiction, son. The reason you keep running into these situations where people talk to you like a child or like somebody who can't take care of themselves or invalid or something, is because you keep living like that. You are dependent, and we can understand that if you're a child or an invalid, but you're neither. You choose to live like one. And so don't be surprised. Get used to it, because people are going to treat you the way you behave, the way you act. And so that conversation I had with a teenager who would declare his independence anytime he thought somebody was talking to him like he was still a child, he resented that. We had to have a talk. I had to explain to him why people kept talking to him or addressing him in ways that made him think, at least, they were talking down to him. And he had to reassert his independence. I told him it was going to continue to happen as long as he lived like an invalid or a child. And so he was not independent. He might have been independent-minded, guys. I didn't say that. But physically, materially, the boy was dependent. The boy was just as dependent on his mother as he had ever been. He had never left the nest. And there is a scientific, there is a biological. In nature, there is actually a term, guys. In nature, there's a term called the rejecting the nest syndrome. Rejecting the nest syndrome. They give the example of birds. A little baby bird who just busts from the egg, they're sitting in the nest with their mouth open, crying, yelling and yelling until their mother brings them some food. But once they get old enough, they reject the nest. In nature, it's almost automatic. When they get a certain age, they automatically take off. And that works. That's excellent. In nature, it works because you don't want a grown bird still in the nest. While the little babies are crying for food, you got this big bird, growing bird, still living in the nest, eating up all the food. And his mama still putting food in the big bird's mouth. The mama bring food for the little bird and he take that. The babies, the ones who can't do for themselves, he eat up what he can eat and eat up what they can eat too. And so it's apropos. It's necessary. It works. That in nature, young animals reach a stage of growth that nature, that zoologists refer to as the rejecting the nest syndrome. They automatically reject the nest and leave, go out on their own and build their own nest one day. Nature, automatically, it seems. Once the animal gets a certain age, he walks away from the den, from the nest. and do his own thing. His or her own thing. And so in the human life, of course, we have instances where we reach adolescence. Adolescence is that point. That teenage, the adolescent age is that point where rejecting the nest syndrome should be kicking in, would be kicking in for humans when they reject the nest, when they go against the rules of the house, they go against all the disciplines in the house, they start eating up all the food, they just lay around and don't contribute, they do what they did when they were babies, they sit there and cry until mama or somebody brings food and stick it in their mouth like they're children or invalids. But once they reach teenage, it's a new day. You know, the world just began for a teenager. Everything you guys are doing is y'all doing it the old way. They doing it the new way now. See, y'all did it y'all way back in y'all day. Now we doing it our way back. You know how teenagers are. And so they believe the world just started. So that period of time, that's they looking for their way of doing things, not the old way of doing things. So they're rejecting, they're beginning to reject the nest right off the top as they become teenagers. So that happens for humans just like it does for animals. Somehow or another, for whatever reason, some don't reject the nest. They stick around. It's easier that way. I don't have to go out and look for a job. I can just stay home. And like I always did when I was a kid, and my mom will wash my clothes, feed me, all that. And now they're getting bigger, and they're getting bigger. They're eating more. They're demanding more rules. They're breaking more rules of the house that they used to obey, because now they're mentally independent. But they're still at the house. They're still doing what babies do. Wait for their mama to come feed them. Except they're crowding out the nest, man. And so they really need to fly. But some of them never make the trip. I mean, they might go out there and try one or twice to get a job and to get independent. But if it's easier just to go back home and lay around and eat out the refrigerator, then they do that instead. That draw to be independent. You know, when you're a kid and you really want your own house, your own apartment, your own car, you don't want all these rules in your mama's house. You want to break away from all these rules and regulations in mama's house. You want to be able to get your own apartment or your own place, your own car, your own transportation where you can go when you get ready to go and come back when you get, you don't have to borrow mama's car or daddy's car. You know what? You want independence. Most of us as teenagers, we actually seek that independence and go out and try to get it. I mean, we might fail a couple of times, but we don't give up until we get it. We leave the nest. Some people don't. That conversation I had with a teenager. Tonight, I want to have that conversation with you. I want to thank you, everyone, for listening in. This is Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. This is a call-in show, guys, but there's a call-in period, and I announce that period, and I give you the number, and I open up my chat room and everything. And we can converse. But right now, let me lay out the framework for this conversation. And then we'll have it. And so first part of this conversation is the conversation that I had with a teenager about his, in quote unquote, independence. Turns out he wasn't independent. He didn't control his basic survival needs, food, clothing, and shelter. Somebody else provided it to them. and somebody else could have taken it away from him. It's not controlled, is it? He was dependent. Now, I told you I had this conversation with a young teenager, but tonight, I want to have that conversation with you. Are you independent? I'll be back in a minute, and we're going to have that conversation. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. Here's where we discuss the issues in our life from a revolutionary point of view. I started this conversation off tonight about the fight for independence. And one of the people I just illustrated for you was a conversation with somebody who was fighting for their independence. A little teenager, 18, 19, almost 19, going on 20 years old. And he was very much independent and was and was bent out of shape if you talked to him like he wasn't, like he was a child or an invalid, like he was somebody who didn't know what they were doing or wasn't able to take care of themselves. He didn't like that kind of, if he thought you was implying such a thing, he would get upset. So I had a conversation with him, I told you. I asked him if he was really independent. He wasn't. And I told him, and until and unless he is, then he can expect to continue to be treated like a child or an invalid, because he was living like one. I told you, in nature, they have something called rejecting the nest. It seems that just automatically certain animals reach a certain age and they leave and build their own life. Something about the human being, we reach that same age in human life, which is like adolescence, when we start rejecting, you know, rules and whatnot. But some of us never venture out. And they continue to live like that baby or that invalid. They continue to sit at home and wait for their mother or somebody to feed, house, and clothe them. Even though they're not a child, even though they're not incapable of feeding, housing, and clothing themselves, they choose. Because they can, they do have a choice, given that they're physically, mentally fit. They choose to live that way. Then he might have been independent-minded, but he was anything but independent. As long as somebody can, and so I wanted to bring this back and ask you this question. Now I'm not talking to a teenager. I'm talking to grown-ups. And I'm going to ask you what I asked that kid. How many people, how many entities, how many things, people, places, or things stand in between you and your basic survival needs and your control over your basic survival needs? Let's not go any further than all. You got a lot of needs. I understand that. But let's deal with the ones that maintain life. Survival needs, they call them. Food, clothing, and shelter. How many people can deprive you officially, have the right, I guess, to deprive you of those things? How, food, clothing, and shelter, how many of those things do you control the quantity and the quality of, or whether you can even access, get them? Food, clothing, and shelter. How many people? A landlord can deprive you of shelter. A boss on a job can take your job away. How many people can deprive you right now, can step in between you right now and your basic survival needs, put you out of your house, take your job, and can you survive? And so the idea being, if you're independent, it would seem that your basic living necessities, if nothing else, if you depend on somebody for everything else in the world, your basic things that sustain your life, food, clothing, and shelter, let's say, if you don't control that, you don't control anything. If you don't control the things that contribute to your life and health, my goodness, who else can deprive, who can stand in between you and those things right now? A job? A landlord? a bank, if you got an unpaid mortgage, who, how many people? The idea being, if you have secured those things, and when I say secured them, I mean brought them under your control, you decide whether you got a place to stay from one day to the next, you decide if you got food in your house one day to the next, and you decide if you got clothes on your back one day to the next, and no matter what anybody else does, businesses, government out there, you control those things, not them. Then you're independent. But if I can take any of those things away, if you don't have control over holding on to any of those things, you're not. In my opinion. And so, I ask grown-ups now, just how independent are you? And I don't want to know how independent you are of all the other things in your life. You might be independent-minded, like the young kid. But I'm talking about your life, your living, your basic survival needs. And guys, I laugh about that because I can see caves, I can see prehistoric man getting up in the morning, risking his life for food, clothing, and shelter. And it's 2021. And there's people on Friday when they get their paycheck, they look at it and say, you might as well give this to my creditors. By the time I pay my bills, this check is gone. My basic bills, this check is gone. By the time I pay my rent and utilities, clothes for the kids, food in the refrigerator, gas in the car so I can get back to work the next day, by the time I pay life insurance, health insurance, car insurance, I got to get back to work because I'm out of money. And all I've done is pay for my basics. I'm not getting ahead. I'm just trying to keep a roof over my head. Food in my stomach, clothes on my back, me and my family's back. So how many of those things do you control the quantity and the quality of? Whether you get them or can somebody else determine whether you're buying the cheapest thing out there quality-wise, or whether you're buying fewer than you need, quantity-wise, because they've raised the prices or something else has happened that you can't afford better quality or the number of things, quantity, that you need. Who controls the quantity and quality of the things you need to survive? Until you do, in my opinion, we haven't reached independence. Now, I'm speaking to you guys on a personal level about your, you know, about our, you know, about our personal work lives and survival and livelihoods. But it's hard for me to do that exclusive of, without addressing that you live in a government, a system, of where money that you use to buy things with that you need to survive, you don't create, you don't make, you don't even determine the value of the money. So you definitely ain't in control of money, not even the money in your pocket. The American dollar is a promissory note, a Federal Reserve note, and it says, and it will go up and down in value. My mother, I told you this story. My mother said she used to pay a quarter for a loaf of bread. So I asked my mom, what is different about a loaf of bread today than it was when you bought it? She said, not much or nothing. It wasn't the loaf of bread that got better. That dollar in your pocket got weaker. It could buy less. And every day, it can buy less and less. A gallon of gas might have been a dollar one day, but another day, it could be $6. You don't control that. You just pay it. I go with that. I understand. So since you live in a system of a lot of different things that could affect you every day, I'm sorry, guys. I was doing a presentation yesterday, the other day, where I was talking about energy and independent energy and individual as well as nations, but individuals as communities capturing their own independent sources of energy, electrical energy. It's everywhere. I was talking about all the different ways people make electricity. You can make electricity from a stone, a crystal. It's called piezo, P-E-I-Z-O, meaning stone, rock, like the Paleozoic period, Stone Age is also referred to as the Paleozoic period. Paleozoic, so I guess it's the Latin, I think Greek or Latin, for rock. Stone. So you can actually, that's something called piezoic electricity, where you can actually extract electricity from a crystal. You do it every time you use one of those long-handled lighters that you use to light your barbecue pit. That spark is coming from you hitting a hammer, hitting a piece of stone, a crystal, and causing electric spark that lights the butane in that long-handled lighter you use to light your barbecue pit. Some people used to have cigarette lighters. They didn't use flint, piece of crystal. Electricity is everywhere. Nikola Tesla said it should be free, and they fired his ass, and he died poor. But they make you pay for it. That was another presentation altogether, but it's control and your independence. It's what's on the gaining your independence, if you want it. It's what's on the agenda today, whether that's as an individual, whether that's as a group, whether that's as a community, a city, a state, or a nation. You know, let's talk about nation. I tell you what. I'm going to get off of you individually because it ain't your fault. You ain't running nothing. I'm telling you. And so in a minute here, we're going to talk about governments. You know, the United States government fought a war for independence. Let's talk about independence. But let's talk about it on a bigger level than just your personal independence, because you live inside of a system that can push you around like clothes on a clothesline, economically, and probably physically. But, so let's look at that system. And so our nation fought a struggle for independence. Every 4th of July, we shoot off firecrackers like we do bombs because we fought a war, a bloody war, a revolution. Against England. We were a colony of 13 colonies. We were a colony. And we didn't like our colonial masters. And so we threw them off with an independence movement and established the United States flag as an independent nation, not a colony of Great Britain. And you know, the Great Britain and British had colonies in Asia, Africa, and all over the place. British colonies. They were colonizing the world. And they colonized this country, now the United States. Then it wasn't. It was a colony of Great Britain. And the colonies and those people in those colonies rose up against their colonial masters and demanded their independence. I mean, it's ironic, of course, that history shows when other countries, specifically Asia, Africa, and Latin America, it seems that when other countries raised up and fight for their independence, we found ourselves on the side of the colonial masters. Patrice Lumumba called for the independence of the Congo from the Belgian colonial master. We have captured Patrice Lumumba, and he was later killed fighting for that independence. We fought for ours. This nation became independent through a war with its colonial master. Well, Ho Chi Minh went to the UN and argued for independence for Vietnam from France. Yeah, it used to be called French Indochina. Why did they call it French Indochina? Because Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Kampuchea, they were all French possessions, colonies. Ho Chi Minh from Vietnam went to the United World, went to the world and asked the world for his independence from France. They refused to support it. And we had the Vietnam War. And we went over and fought on the side of the French. Even though we fought for our independence here, away from our colonial masters, we didn't see, we were reluctant to support other people's efforts in some of these other countries. Now, that's a history there that's out of this world, and I won't go into it, but I will name the Philippines. I will name Cuba. I will name several places where we went to, and they was fighting for their independence, and we got kicked out because we didn't go there saying, you guys got y'all independence the same way we had to get ours. We had to fight for it from the British. King George wanted us to be colonies. But we threw him off through a revolutionary war. And so the Cubans and these other countries said, okay, we're going to throw off the Spanish. Cuba was controlled by Spain, and so was the Philippines at the time. The United States said, we'll come down and help you. It wasn't soon before these countries saw the United States as the new dictators, the new colonial masters. And then there was a fight against the United States by these same two countries, the Philippines and these ex-Spanish possessions in Cuba. And so it's an interesting history of the independence fight of nations. Everybody don't get it, get their independence, I guess. But we have a declaration in our founding documents. We have a declaration of independence. See, independence, guys, is not a new word. I didn't make it up. I just asked you to define it for me. And once defined, I ask you, are you? How close are you to that definition? And if you ain't close, baby, if you can't meet the requirements of basics, of controlling your basic survival needs, your life sustaining, food, clothing, shelter, that's all I asked about. We need communication. We need transportation. We need a lot of other things. But let's talk about some basic things that keep you moving, keep your health intact. Do you control those things? How many people can interfere with your getting those things? How much of those things do you control the quantity and the quality of? You tell me. I'll be back. And we're back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This radio station deals with the incidents and things in our lives every day that affect our life directly or indirectly. We just deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. Revolution ain't nothing but change. And let me tell you guys, there's some things that need to be changed here. It's a new day. If you're waking up, this is the environment we live in. Once we understand that, then to negotiate this environment, we need some tools. We need an understanding of what it looks like out there and what it takes to negotiate the obstacle courses and the like. Because they are. There's those who don't want you to have independence. I told you. The United States fought for its independence. It was a colony of Great Britain. It had to fight a bloody war before we could plant that flag and call this an independent nation. We were proud of having thrown off our colonial masters. In fact, we celebrated every 4th of July in this country. But then we saw India, Asia, Latin America, we saw countries fighting for their independence from their colonial masters. And ironically enough, we end up on the side of the colonial masters more often than not. It ain't strange if you understand how things work, guys. And if you understand how things work, then you can avoid seeing this as strange. And you can understand what's going on. And that gives you the ability to negotiate this terrain when you understand the terrain. So I asked about independence, and I went on to talk about personal independence, but also we talked about national independence. Well, let me drop a term on you, a term taken from nature. You remember nature. It's called interdependence, I-N-T-E-R. It's called interdependence. It's not independent. It's not dependent. It's called interdependence. Now, you can only have interdependence if you have independent individuals making that organization. An interdependent organization is made up of independent people, not dependent ones. You can't exercise interdependence if you're dependent . You exercise only the people who are already independent can exercise that concept called interdependence. This is a concept seen in nature, where single individuals, cells, let's say, microorganism or whatever, combine to become multicellular. And they're a new thing, right? They're an advanced form of life. We call those things advanced forms of life. They're no longer single cell, they're multicellular. They're a bunch of cells working together. Common purpose, to survive. And so that's called interdependence. Yeah, they depend on each other to a certain extent, but individually they could live on their own. They once were single cell organisms that took care of themselves. So when these independent organisms come together, they can be dependent voluntarily on a larger organization. But it doesn't take away their ability, their independence if they want it. And so interdependence is a concept that I want to drop on you that nature employs. However, you can only do that when you got independent people. Now, As I wrap this up, I'm going to just go back for a minute. In a family where you're raising a child, you know the baby is going to be dependent. Can't fend for itself. Everybody agrees with that, understands that, accepts that. However, what a family likes to be able to do is to raise that child so that one day that child can be independent, can go out on their own, build their own life, secure their own housing, food, and clothing. They're no longer a child. They don't have to sit there and wait for somebody to come feed them. They can go out and secure food, clothing, and shelter for themselves. So every family hopes that they can raise a well-rounded child who's intelligent enough, strong and healthy enough to go out there, go out there in this world and get a piece of it, you know, and live a decent life. Hopefully better than theirs. A lot of parents just hope their kids can live a better life than they did. So you want to build independent individuals in a family. That's a prize. That's a product to be proud of. That a family can produce such individuals who go on to become doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. Who go on to become something in the world. Family is a family that can produce those kinds of individuals, raise them to be those kinds of individuals, have something to be proud of. It's a product that they can be proud of. However, in a group, in a community, in a nation, if you want to achieve independence, you got to have independent people. But if you live in a nation where your independence is not a priority, this nation does not see its product that it's proud of to be its people, only its production. We're proud that we're an economic powerhouse on the world scene. But do you know we have more illiterate people in this country than some much smaller nations with less resources? Do you know infant mortality in this country, where children die before the age of one, is commensurate with some third world countries? You see, I had a foreigner called in here the other night on one of my shows. I call him a foreigner, but I just mean that he told me that he didn't come from here. He looked at America from the outside, which I said, good. Sometimes you got a better perspective if you're from the outside, or a perspective that's useful. And he says that Americans were lazy. They just want a handout. That are this great country they don't appreciate. From the outside, that's what the guy says he sees America as from where he stands. We got all these privileges and stuff, and we don't seem to respect that or care about that. We want a handout. Now, that individual, I think, has a perspective that when he got through talking, related to a certain group of people he had in mind. Turns out it wasn't all Americans. He realized that was too general a statement, because America is an advanced industrialized nation. You don't get to be like that sitting on your ass. Somebody did some work. So to call Americans lazy and want a handout, you got to explain to me, how do we get to be an advanced industrialized nation if that's all we've ever wanted? So he said, oh, now some people. Okay, so yeah, there's always going to be some people in everything, in any nation, some people. And so in our country, if our nation was like a family, if our nation prided itself and the people that it produced for the world, to the world, intelligent, healthy, educated people that come out of this country, and the country could be proud of that, then it would produce and it would see its job like a family does. It would see its job as moving people from being dependent, like a baby, which we all accept, the babies can't do for themselves. Well, if the poor in our community exist and they're dependent on the government for welfare and food stamps and all that stuff, SNAP and everything, making them independent, if that was your goal, then would take them off the dole. And not only that, they'd be able to contribute. They may even have something they can contribute to the government. We could build interdependence if we produce independent individuals, but we don't, telling you. I use the kid as an example, but I'm talking to you. You are not independent, and your government does not see making you independent as its priority. And I got to ask why. Because I was talking to somebody the day before yesterday, we had a conversation on the universal basic income, giving everybody a check. You know, remember Andrew Yang, who ran for president? He wanted to give everybody a check every month. Some people say that just make people lazy. They want more work. Well, some people are already doing it in California. There's a mayor in California who's already doing it. There's Finland is doing it. There's other countries that are doing it. And they said it on the contrary. Most people are glad to have their basic needs met, but they're using it as a platform to build a life on top of. So they don't quit working. They still want the nice house and the nice car. That little check every month, yeah, it takes care of food, clothing, and shelter, and that's good. That's a foundation. That's a floor that I won't fall through, food, clothing, and shelter. So if my family or my government can provide that floor for me, from there, I can take it from there. So if a family can provide an environment where their kid can have his basic needs met, the baby, they can raise that child from being a dependent individual to being an independent adult. When you do that, you do a good job. Some families feel that's a good job. Our government's priority could be to produce independent individuals, i.e. the more people who have to depend on the government, the more bigger the government gets to handle the demand. But a woman told me the other day, called in here and told me that social safety check, welfare, whatever you want to call it, SNAP in some places, that check, if you take that check and you find another way to get some more money on top of that check, you try to move up higher than what that check can provide, they cut the check. If you have any other source of income, and they find out you're getting a dime from somewhere other than the government, they cut the check. And so she says it's like a vicious circle. You got a floor to start with because you get that government check every month. Okay, that's some basics. Now I can use that to go out and look for work, to go out and do some work. But once they find out that I've earned a dollar, they're going to start cutting my check. And so now I'm back where I started. So current social programs are not a safety net. They're a little wheel that goes round and round and round, and you never get off, it seems. I don't think the priority is producing independent individuals, but it should be. A government could pride itself on not how many products it produced, not its GDP, its gross national product, or its GNP. It could pride itself on the people it produces for the world. Healthy, educated, intelligent, and capable citizens, workforce, people. That's not its product. So interdependence will never happen in this nation because it doesn't prioritize taking those who are dependent and shepherding them the way you would a baby in a home who is dependent, and working with them to get them independent. And every time you get another one independent, every time you shoot off another one that's after ready to go out and take care of this world and take on the world, then you have something to be proud about as a family, and you'd have something to be proud about as a nation. The only reason you don't do that is for some reason or another, dependence works best. And I'm going to open my lines up, guys, and I'm going to open up my chat room. I already got a caller. And so it's like we're getting into our call-in section now. And just keep in mind, guys, when you hear the jazz music, it's call-in time. It's your time to shine. I have a caller been waiting. I'm going to bring that caller onto the air now. Guys, hang on just a moment. Hello, caller. This is Gary. You're on the air. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Gary. How you doing? I was really just kind of listening on my phone because I was kind of moving around. But it was a good topic tonight. As far as being independent, I think we understand that even if you are, for the vast majority of us, even if you are seemingly financially independent, you're still dependent on the system, like you said, right?
That's
right. In order to be even a bit more independent, it's going to take a lot of planning. It's going to take, you know, some work. And when things are provided for a lot of us so easily, you know, it's like, okay, do you continue to just enjoy what you think are the benefits, which seems like it's going to last a while, even though they're quickly coming to a close, whether people realize it or not.
That's right.
You're asking an adult who has gone to school, who has worked, who has a house, an SUV, and some creature comforts. You're asking them now to become independent and do the hard work to become more independent, and that's good for a lot of us. I think that's going to be a hard sell. Until it's necessary, right? Until they deem it necessary.
That's
kind of my thought.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you did. You just, the last few words you said hit it right on the head. It's kind of like I did this presentation about gaining control over your power, electrical power and utilities, because it's so easy to produce electricity. And I felt the same way about it, but I told people, listen, I know you're not going to think about this until you're sitting in the dock. When the power goes out, whether it's a storm or you didn't pay the bill, when you're sitting in the dock, you'll think about this conversation we just had. And so what you said is right. When it becomes necessary, they said people make change when they got everything to lose or when they got nothing to lose. I understand that. But the options is there.
Right.
And when you say that, when people need to, you know, if they're talking about a food shortage, okay, or they're talking about going up on this or going down on that or this shortage or that shortage. And so you've been jerked, we've been jerked around all of these shortages because we're hooked to that system. Our freedom, our independence lies in having those things regardless to what the system does. And that's
right.
Independence.
Right. So what happens is if it gets to a point where people are going to need things that are no longer seemingly available to them, they're going to make a choice. They're going to make a choice. Either they're going to take what the government gives them or what the powers that be give them and do what is asked of them to get it, or
like we are.
They're going to take the hard road and go on their own. But my concern is that by the time things get that bad, there may only be one choice. The people that have gone to try to be independent, they've already done that. And they're already trying it, and they're already doing it. But for the people who wait until it's absolutely necessary, there might only be one choice. And that choice may be to do whatever the powers that be say so that you can get a crumb to survive. You know, so when you say, I'm not taking that vaccine, they're going to say, well, when you're hungry enough, you'll take it.
Well, you know, I used to be a labor organizer, and we would, and from time to time, we got to ahead with the owner to where we couldn't come up with something, and sometimes we had to strike. That's all we had is our labor. We all poor. So the only thing we had to bargain with is our labor. So we withdrew our labor, shut the place down. Now, when you bite the hand that feeds you, sometimes all they got to do is wait you out. And when you get hungry and them bills got to be paid, people start crossing that picket line. All right?
Yep.
Going back to work. And so when you get ready to do a strike, you plan to strike ahead of time. You set up a food closet, a clothing closet. You make sure there's a bag of groceries that's going to be going out to everybody every week and maybe some cash. And so once you've stored up a strike fund, once you have legal help on the side already, you're ready to go. But you don't go until you're ready. But we understood that basic dynamic that you just spoke of is that we couldn't fight a system that fed us unless we had an alternative means to eat and pay our bills. And so very similar to that. We are in a situation here where we're part of a system, and if we decided that we don't like what the system is doing or whatever, we can do our own thing. But the system will wait us out, and those people who get used to, you know, having everything right there, will go back. You know, Harry Tubman had slaves who got halfway down the trail and it was just a little bit too hard for them, and they decided to go back to the plantation. At least they knew the plantation. That was familiar. They were going north to a place they wasn't familiar, and it was hard, walking through swamps and running from dogs. And so some people wanted to turn back. I don't know if they made it, but they wanted to go back. And so, yeah, I imagine. I can see that scenario that you're putting out. There are going to be people who want to eat the way.
And do you know what's sad about all of this? You know what's sad about all this? What's sad about it is over the last how many years, it has been easier than it has probably ever been in our history in this country to actually be independent. There were more of us working. The technology afforded us the ability to communicate in
That's
multiple
right.
different ways, in real
That's right.
time.
In real time.
There
all
are
over
free,
the world.
There are free project management tools that we wanted to build. I mean, the internet is such a treasure trove of good information. You can learn how to build a house just off, you know what I mean? It's never been easier for us to organize. It's never been easier.
But every now and then, there's a glitch in the matrix. And those yep. who are organized and flexible can step into that breach and make a change. But if you ain't ready, if you ain't organized, if you ain't paying attention, that breach can come and go. The Great Depression was a breach. And in it came the minimum wage, Social Security, certain social programs that would have never existed were it not for the Great Depression. And what was possible in that chaos to come out of that chaos. But there are opportunities when the system fails, as it usually does, a correction. They call it correction. Then if you're organized, if you're ready, maybe you have something to offer. Maybe you can take an opportunity to use your internet now that you have it, long as you have it. Because they're going to shut down, you know, they can shut that down. But yeah. you also got all this do-it-yourself. They teach you how to make a garden. They teach you how to grow stuff vertically. They teach you how to make power, your own electrical power, which I made a big yep. thing out of in one of my presentations, Taking Power, it's called. But you're right. Now is a good time. Now is a perfect time. Because, and then in this environment, if you understand this corporate environment we live in, when a country says that a corporation is too big to fail, they're admitting that they're in the bed too deep with the corporations to the point where they can't allow a private business to fall. That's too close. That's an indictment. And so now, yeah. in that environment, we have to take this opportunity.
And we, you know, here's the scary thing. You feel the doors starting to close on those opportunities. Those opportunities that we've had for years to do things, you're starting to feel that those doors and those ways and means are starting to slowly be taken away and fade away. You know, the ease of movement, being able to move around and travel and go here and go there and do things is slowly starting to come under scrutiny to where they say, well, maybe you need a new passport to travel. That expires every 6 months, right? These things are starting
right.
to – so the window of opportunity
That's
is
right.
starting to close, and that's what concerns me.
Well, yeah. Now, here's the thing. That's very true. Now, here's the thing is that, like I said, every now and then opportunities come along, and if we don't move on them, they do close because it gives you options. It's just like that universal basic income thing. If there was a basic income, and it don't have to be enough to make you rich, just enough to pay your, you know, just enough for your basic survival needs, food, clothing, and shelter, even that much would provide a floor that you never fall through. Even if you fail in life, you don't fall any further in this government, a citizen doesn't, than food, clothing, and shelter. You don't go hungry, homeless, and ragged. And so it builds a floor. That's all it does. Nobody wants to live off of $1,000 a month, trying to stretch that from 1 month to the next. Any welfare recipient can tell you that doesn't work. But people will appreciate that. But they will go to work because you can't get a new Tesla off $1,000 a month. You can't get that nice house you want off $1,000 a month. So very few people are going to sit around at home and try to live off $1,000 a month. But
right.
if they got their basic needs taken care of, I told everybody the example of me working on a job where I walked off the job and I made fun of all the guys who didn't walk off. I called them slaves. I called them all kinds of names. But I had to tell the truth. That I apologized to those guys because they were older than I was. They had families. And I was at home with my mom working for the summer. I could walk anytime I got ready. They couldn't. And I didn't think of that when I walked out. I thought that accepting what they had accepted that caused me to leave I thought that they were, you know, giving in or something. But I understood now. So my universal basic income, the thing that gave me options was I was living at home with my family. I didn't have to worry about food, clothing, and shelter. I wanted some extra money. I wanted some of my own money, so I was out there working. So a universal basic income might give you some options. Being independent might give you some options. Now, there's some people that prefer you didn't have options, that you had to come here to work. A universal health care. If a woman told me, I would leave the job tomorrow. That's a terrible job. But I love that health care, and my child is sick, and they got a good health program, and I got to stay there. I can't afford to, you know, the child is on my medical benefits, and so I really can't afford to leave this job because I need those health benefits. If the government, if we had a health system, like most advanced industrialized countries, then you could walk up, you wouldn't have to stay on a job just to get their medical benefits. You would have options. And when they start to see you have options like that, the doors start to close.
Well, here's my concern. Here's my concern about that. And here's my concern about universal basic income and things like that. My concern is that, and history has shown, that governments never, and I don't care what kind of political structure you're talking about, they always grab more and more power over time. They always grab more and more control over your life over time, unless the people check it, and usually the people wait too late to check it. That's why you have to have some kind of conflict or some kind of war or battle just to keep what you had when you were younger. It
yeah.
always happens under every kind of system. So my concern is, my concern is that when you start going to this universal basic income and all that kind of stuff, that they have you where they want you. Now, this is already being part of this thing. This control grid is already being tried in China. It's called the Sesame Social Credit System or something like that. And so it's where they track everything you do. Now, once you're totally dependent on them for stuff, what happens is if you don't say what they want you to say, or you say something they don't want you to say, or you're involved with some kind of politics that the government doesn't agree with or whatever, they start to score you socially. And what's happened is there's a guy in China, an older guy, I guess he did something the government didn't like. They've taken his social score down so low, he can't travel, he can't get on a plane, he can't get on a train. The people that used his family members that used to be near him won't ever contact him again, because once they are seen, because the government has full control over WeChat and everything, you know, the social media system over there. So if that man is an outcast and you contact him, your social credit score starts to go down, takes a hit.
Associating with an outcast.
Right. So they totally isolate. Right?
Yeah.
And so my thing is that those things that they give you for free is to help you to get the hell off of it, to survive and figure out a way to get the hell off of it as quick as you can.
Right.
Before they tie the noose around your neck. That's what it's there for. Hey, I'll take this payment, this welfare payment, real quick, and I'm going to figure out as fast as I can whether I got to go back to school, how to get off this thing.
Right. That's right. And the idea is the government would be better off if it assisted you in every way, because it's less money to assist you to get off and become independent. As a matter of fact, once you become independent, you could become a taxpayer and a contributor. And so it is behooves them. You know, I have a presentation where I tell them that in the Army, they tell you that an Army moves as fast as its slowest soldier. An army only moves as fast as its slowest soldier. So if a soldier is holding up the ranks, is holding up the rear, is hampering the column, then you send somebody back there to help them. You put them on a gurney. If they can't walk, you know, pick them up if you have to. But we move forward, and we don't leave anybody behind. Our government has to prioritize going after those who are dependent and making them, doing what we can to make them independent so that they become contributors. So, again, for some reason or another, the independence of individuals can be, well, let's say if the government, it depends on your priorities. If your priority is making independent people, you're going to move heaven and earth to make that happen. If corporate America is running things, and they are, too big to fail simply means that you're so intertwined that one goes down, the other goes down. So when you're that close to corporate America, that you can't let them fall without the government falling, that's too close. And so in an environment like that, you got to worry if the government's going to always side with the corps, with the corporation.
You don't have to. You don't have to worry about it. That's a guarantee. Like, I think at some point, I think we've been in North America long enough. I mean, at some point, we just have to be honest. I don't know what it is. It's just like if you go out of your house every day and the dude down the street, I mean, he fights you every time you come out. And he punched you square in the face, and y'all just got to tussle every day to where you almost scared to come out the house. If this happens for a year, the 366 day that it happens, why would in the world are you still confused about what's happening? And that's the way I feel about us. Like,
people have normalized.
To know, but it's almost like we just want to keep continuing to buy into the lie because that's easier mentally to deal with. Like, I don't really understand, like, how many times do we, like, what else needs to happen to us for us to say, okay, look,
when we get tired, listen, let me say this. When we get tired, I did this thing with the 18-year-old. When you get tired of being treated like a child, and that's how we're being treated. When you get tired of being treated like an invalid, somebody who can't do for themselves, and that's how we're being treated, then you will seek your independence. If you decide to live like a child, then don't be surprised when you get treated like one. If you want to live on the government, then don't be upset when the government start peeping in your house and seeing what you're doing and whether you got any other money coming in or you got a man in the house bringing in money or you told them you didn't tell them about. If the government's all up in your business, they justify. They say they're justified because they pay your bills. If I pay your bills, I'm going to be up in your business. And so how do we get the government out of our business? It's not by telling them to get out. We don't rely on them anymore. We don't rely on them as less as possible, in other words, and specifically for our basics. And so we are being treated like children or invalids who can't do for themselves. And some people decide they want to live like that. I know people who are institutionalized. You know what that means? I know people who tell you right now that they can live better in prison than they can out here. In fact, they call this the big prison and jail the real prison, the little prison. And they call it their house, their cell. They refer to it as their house. They have normalized, I guess, their condition. But for them, it's just like that little 18-year-old in a way. For them, you know, they're grown men and they're independent-minded, but they don't have to go work for a living. Food is provided for them. Clothing is provided for them. Housing is provided for them. And in the back of their mind, somewhere down in that little child mind, they back at home. They don't want to go out. There are people who were raised so dependent, was never pushed out of the nest, a challenge that way, that they're so dependent that they'll go to prison. And once they get there and find out they ain't got to work for a living, food, clothes, and shelter is coming just like mama used to bring. Well, it ain't the same food, clothes, and shelter, but still, you're getting it all free. And the next thing you know, they institutionalized. They can live good in jail. Or I've heard them tell me, I can live better in there than I can out here. I got everything I need in there. They make alcohol. We do this, we do that. We got this, we got that. Like it's something to brag about. I've heard that. And so people will normalize being taken care of. They get upset. Now, when you tell them when to get up, when to go to bed, when they have to have rules and follow rules in your house, child who's growing up to be a teenager, he might get rebellious against your rules. But you have to demand your rules in your house until he gets his own house, right? Independence. So if you're not interested in getting your own independence, then don't be complaining when you get jacked around and treated like a child or an invalid who can't do for themselves or don't know how. That's all I'm saying. Don't be surprised. Don't be upset. Don't complain because you get treated this way. You get treated this way because you live that way. You don't want to be treated like a child. You don't want to be treated like an invalid. Seek your independence in every way you can. Move as many things, people, places, and things that can stop you from getting your basic needs out of your way. Get it down to you and maybe one other person if you can, that can interfere with your food, clothing, and shelter. You're collecting and your own food, clothing, and shelter, having your own basics.
Yeah, and I think there's another essential in there,
mm-hmm.
other than food, clothing, and shelter, that's security.
Yeah. Of course, yes.
Because even if you get that, if you can secure it, then
nothing
we know
is
what
worth
happens.
Having. Nothing is worth having if you don't secure it. Nothing is worth having if you don't plan on securing it. Because, yeah, you're right. Natural disasters, bad actors, a lot of people can take it away from you. Like I said, independence, having options, is not preferable in some arenas like business. And so there are some people that prefer that you remain dependent on them. My people were sharecroppers. And they came out of the rural area supposed to be sharing the crop with the plantation owner. But of course they always stayed in debt because the crop never brought in enough money for them to get out. So next season they try to get out. But next season, even if it was a good season, the debt would be called on and they'd be back where they started. And so when they realized that they were going to never, ever get out for that man's land, and they were going to work their butt off season after season raising his cotton, and at the end of the year, I asked my grandmama. I said, Grandmama, what is sharecropping? And she says, when you work all year round for the man, and at the end of the year, you owe him. So my family ran off from Mississippi, escaped, because if you either accept it, change it, or leave it, all else is madness. My folks left it. And so I end up being born in the city. But you got choices. And some people will choose to remain on the plantation. I told you, Harriet Tubman had people who got halfway to the north, halfway through the trip, and decided this is too rough. I want to go back. At least I knew where I stood on the plantation. And so you'll have those people who will want to go back for that childlike life. But I'm just saying, don't complain when you get treated like a child.
I agree with you on that one.
I appreciate you calling, man.
Hey, no problem, man. Good show. Good show.
All right. I'm here every night, 7 p.m. to 9. And I have a different subject almost every time. Now, I want to also I want to say before we end tonight that Revolutionary Life, there's a Revolutionary Life Facebook page, and you can sign up for this page so you get notifications about the next one and what it's going to be about. You can come to my Facebook page, same name, Revolutionary Life. And there's a second page that I've started called an Independence Party page. It's a political page about a political party and about the concept of interdependence and about the concept of a government who's out to put itself out of business. In other words, instead of having people dependent on it, it's doing everything it can to make the people in it independent and contributors to it. That's its goal. Every time it creates another independent person, it celebrates. Like a family does when it raises a child to a point where they can go out on their own. And so a nation needs to work that way, and people need to be as pride and joy, healthy, educated people, industrious people need to be as pride and joy as product. And so there's another page called the Independence Party. And because I'm an organizer, guys, I was trained as an organizer. So I talk about labor organizing, but I was also trained in political and other organizing methods. And so there you go. If you want to see where I'm coming from with the politics on this, then you can go over and check that Independence Party page. I had a political hair up my nose and decided to create that page. But I'll leave it there. And I appreciate everyone for listening in. And I got my chat room open. And there are some people who are... out there who may not want to call in, you're free to come in the chat. And when we finish our little session right here, I just want to remind everybody that my show is archived. That is to say that everything is recorded. And so if you missed this show, if you caught it in half, if you want to see some older shows that I've done, that I've referred to in this one, or just older shows, you can, all those shows are on demand. They're there on demand. You can always go back and look at them and listen to them. All right. And so here every night, every weekday night, I'm sorry, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here dealing with everything that affects our life. But we deal with it from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution ain't nothing but change. And my Lord, there's some things out here that need to change. Today we're asking you about your level of independence. And if you're worried about being treated like sheep in this government, if you worry about being jacked around and not being in control of anything, from the money in your pocket to the price of things, then don't live like a child if you don't want to be treated like one. Take an opportunity to seek an independent source of nothing else, if nothing else, of your basic survival needs, if nothing else. We still got a few more minutes, guys. My lines are still open. When you hear the jazz, you know it's call-in time. It's your time to shine. Thank you. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're dealing with subjects that affect our everyday life. We got a serious one today, and the one is called independence, the fight for independence. Don't we all want to be independent? Or do we want to be jacked around? I was telling a story in a presentation about a light bulb that was lit in the 40s, I think it was, and it's still lit today. They never cut it off. It's in a firehouse, and they will go in the fireman will take you and show it to you. It's still glowing. It never went out. Now, the YouTube video, I had a clip of that, guys. Maybe I'll get that link and put it in the chat. The video, the guy who does the video talks about a company, a group that was put together by light bulb producing companies, Philips, GE, and the like. And they decided to not make a light bulb with that filament because it would last too long. So they all agreed to make a light bulb that would blow out purposely after a certain length of time. And they all agreed to do it, and today. Now you can now with LED coming out, it's hard for them to do what they did in the 40s up to today. But in the 40s up till today, if you went out and bought a light bulb, you made some family rich for no reason at all. You spent money that you could have spent on anything else in this world, but you spent it on a planned obsolescence planned failure to make you go out and spend money you ain't got. And your grandparents did it, your parents did it, and you're probably doing it. Going out buying light bulbs when the federal government knew about this group. It wasn't a secret group. With corporations, General Electric, Philips, people who made bulbs. And to this day, the government has never stopped that and said, no, if there's a bulb that these people can use that will go out, they can spend that money on something else that their family needs. Instead, you got them running out every 6 months buying bulbs with money they ain't got. But that was okay. Your government allowed us to continue to buy bulbs when we should never, ever, ever have to go buy another light bulb again, and they know it. The technology exists. There's an example that exists right now in that firehouse. The bulb is still burning. The only reason you don't have that bulb, and never, and your parents didn't have it, and your grandparents didn't have it, is because somebody got rich by having you run to the store and buy light bulbs for no reason at all. That was not necessary. For you, it wasn't. For the public, it wasn't. For the society, it wasn't. For those companies, it was. They're making, their families are rich because generations of light bulb buyers who didn't need to go buy a light bulb went and bought one. They didn't know that. They didn't need to go. They didn't know that there was a light bulb, a cheap light bulb that would never go out, that existed, that could have been produced every day, all day, thousands, millions of them could have been produced just like any other light bulb. It's just a different filament. It's just a filament in that light bulb that won't blow, that can handle the wattage without blowing. Existed for 40 years, man. Well, what? Now it's the 2000. It's existed for damn near half a century, and you buying light bulbs. You spending money you ain't got for no reason, for no good reason. Our government could have had those light bulbs made if those folks wouldn't make them, and you could be spending that money on something else. Man, I'm talking about light bulbs, but you know what? Everything in your life has been done that way. You being used and abused economically, and it ain't your fault that you struggle so hard. It ain't your fault. You go out and buy light bulbs. It ain't your fault. But every other thing in your life has been arranged that way. You don't know why you have white rice. You don't know why you have seedless grapes and seedless watermelons. You think they did that for your convenience so you wouldn't have to worry about seeds? No. You got to remember at the turn of the century, that was still most people living in rural areas. If you gave them brown rice, they'd stick it in the ground and grow their own rice. If you gave them grapes with seeds in it, they'd grow their own grapevines. They stripped the germ off the rice. So all you got is the starch in the middle. You can't stick that in the ground and grow anything. You're going to have seedless grapes, seedless watermelon, seedless this, seedless that, because your independence is a danger to them. Your dependence is required. They can't have you taking watermelon seeds out of that watermelon. They can't have you grape seeds out of them grapes and sticking them in the ground, growing your own stuff. Monsanto has a contract on some of your food growers. They can't even use a certain strawberry or a certain tomato because that particular strain, which is dominant in the market, is owned by Monsanto. They got you by the short hairs, baby. They treating you like a child, like you don't know no better. They treating you like an invalid, like you can't take care of yourself. But that's because you're living like one, depending on this government to come feed you, to make sure you got a job, to make sure So that's food in the stores. And light bulbs. And white rice. You don't want to be treated like a child? Don't live like one. Seek your independence. Then we can build a government based off of interdependence, like nature does. And interdependence can only be done by independent people. Our clock is running down, guys. I thank everybody for listening in, calling in tonight. We had a good conversation on independence. I want you to think about that. I don't want you to wait until the lights go out before you consider independent power. I don't want you to wait. There ain't no food in the stores before you consider having a source of food. I don't want you to wait for somebody to come out and turn your lights on for you. I don't want you to wait until somebody decides to deliver food to your local store so you can buy it. But if you want to do that, that's okay. If you live like a child, you'll be treated like one. If you live dependent, you'll be treated like someone who's dependent. So don't complain when the government treats you like you can't do for yourself or like you're ignorant. You're listening to Revolutionary Life tonight. And every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every night we deal with some of the subjects that affect our lives every day. And now is the time, guys. There's no time like the present to consider our position as poor and working people. Especially if you sell your labor. Especially if you sell your labor for a living. Your mental and physical labor for a living. Man, are they treating you like a child? But I thank everyone for listening in tonight. I hope we all had a good conversation about that tonight, and I hope it was a nice little think piece, and I hope you don't wait too late to realize that things ain't moving in your interests, then you got to look after your interests. That's revolutionary. Because there's some people who'd like for you to be sheep. Children. They get paid that way. That's how we get millionaires. Thank you for listening in, everyone. You have a wonderful evening. And I'll be back here tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 o'clock. And ain't no telling what we might be talking about. Or we might be addressing that night. So y'all take care. And good night.